Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord, your constant abiding with us, revealing yourself, showing yourself in signs and wonders, showing your great presence here in love and mercy. And we're thankful for that, Lord. We pray that we'll appreciate it and thereby in respect and honor you, love you even more. And think upon thy great name, Lord, and speak the wondrous things of God. We ask you to bless us in the service tonight. Have your way in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to take a special message tonight. We'll continue next Sunday where we left off and we went away. And what I want to do is to just sort of give you an idea what kind of questions people ask me when we have a question and answer period away from home. Now, you haven't had a chance to do that for quite a long time. But I was asked to answer questions when I was in the church in Beaumont after the services were held downtown. And so we're just going to look at some of these, and I think some of these will be quite good to discuss tonight. One question came in, when did the presence of God first come to our prophet? And, of course, we're talking in terms of Brother Branham mentioning the pillar of fire coming down to earth. And what came from that pillar of fire by way of revelation. Of course, that was in June 11, 1933, when that pillar of fire came down in the form of a rainbow, and the word came forth that John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, so your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. Now, you'll notice that that as John the Baptist forerun, there was a, that was an actual person. And the forerunning was that John the Baptist was born only 6 months ahead of Jesus. And then, of course, he had a ministry wherein he was called to identify Jesus Christ. So there's a man and a ministry then that was forerunning the one that we know to be Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Now, Brother Branham has a message wherein that the message would be the actual forerunning of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Brother Branham differentiated between coming and appearing. In end time evangelism, he says something like this. I can't read it all because I just cut an excerpt out here. See, they had a testimony that they had seen the Lord. The others didn't believe it, and he upbraided them because they hardened their hearts. They didn't believe these people who had seen that he was not dead. He's alive. Same thing today when you see his work. Now we have already seen and are witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, appearing and coming is two different words, to appear and then to come. Now is the appearing. He has already appeared in these last days, right here with us in these last few years. That's the same thing he said in Do the Saints Go Through the Great Tribulation, when he said he's appearing in signs and wonders. He's done that for several years. And I don't know, just when end-time evangelists preached, it was in the 50s, I believe. He's already appeared in these last days right here with us in the last few years. Now, it's a sign of his coming. See, he's appearing in the church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that it's him, because people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now, remember, it spoke both places, appearing and coming. And I don't know if I got another quote here or not that would now he says here hadn't had it through the age. See, that's perfect continuity of scripture. Here we live in it. The mysteries even of the baptism in the name of Jesus, and away from oneness idea and other things, how the Holy Spirit has moved that in, showed it perfectly, the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, the token, everything, and placed it, and how he placed every form and everything just exactly right before our eyes. And it's not in a corner, it's world known. Jesus, the Son of God, revealing himself of the Scripture, making that Scripture live. Making that Scripture that has been predestinated this day like it was to that day and all other days live, and to believe the seventh Holy Ghost. That's not the quote I wanted. I don't know that I got it here. It might be written down somewhere. Relative to the fact that something like back where he's explaining his own ministry, and he said the words of a man
won't do that. So the appearing actually started
as a sign that he was to be in the form of the Holy Spirit at this end time, appearing, in other words, proving his appearing by what he was doing. And that's over here in Acts the 3rd chapter. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And that word, of course, we saw, presence means that which is visible to the eye. And we saw that in John 15:24, that if I had not done the works of other men, did they had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. So you can see that the actual visible presence of God was the literal signs and wonders that he did, and the same thing happens at the end time. Brother Branham placed this as a great healing revival that was going on in the world. And then, of course, after Acts 19 comes a verse, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was proclaimed in advance unto you, the same one, or appointed. And it says the heavens must retain him until all the things that were to be revealed in the Word would be revealed. Then would come that end. So we see here the presence actually started. The coming down, the pillar of fire, making himself known. And then, of course, from there on, his presence would be known through the ministry that Brother Branham had, which ministry was vouchsafed on the very grounds that that pillar of fire was seen. And another question came in, please comment on the seeing of the pillar of fire and the reflection of the pillar of fire. That is, Brother Branham said they saw the pillar of fire over a tape-recorded message of seals in Jamaica. Well, of course they didn't see the pillar of fire. They saw just a reflection. There's never to be any doubt in anybody's mind concerning that. That you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and you have your key given to you in the 18th chapter. And verse 16, according to all that thou desirest, the Lord thy God in Horeb the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. And he said, never again will the pillar of fire be actually seen in a body of people and actually hear God reveal himself to a body of people. From that time on, it is going to be a prophet. So therefore, the prophet is the pillar of fire to the people, and he is the voice of God to the people. And you have to reconcile yourself to that. And if you don't, I've got news for you. You're just plumb out of the things of God. You simply cannot tell God how he's going to do things. Again, the question comes up, is there a difference in the Lord being omnipresent by foreknowledge and his presence as in 1 Thessalonians 4:16? Where it says, the Lord himself shall descend him with a shout. That's absolutely different. That's absolutely different. It isn't that God in foreknowledge did not tell that event to take place. But when you talk about the presence of God by omnipresence, there is no such thing as omnipresence. There is absolutely no such thing as omnipresence. Nowhere in Scripture, omnipresence is pantheism. And pantheism is against the Word. God has is not omnipresent. What he is omniscient and omnipotent. And with the two factors of knowing all things and being able to do something about all things, then in that respect, he is omnipresent, but only on the grounds of his omniscience and his omnipotence. He is not omnipresent per se. Now, this is a literal presence, and it's different from the presence of God with you by rebirth. Now, there is no more, God is no more present with the individuals than your parents are if they lived in another country. Now, you're the product of your parents. Whatever lay in those parents, in their genes, physically attributed to you, and by a work of God giving you a spirit, your parents are not present with you except in the sense of that you are the product of your parents. Well, so it is with rebirth. The Holy Spirit comes in an infinitesimal measure, joining you back to God, and that's, but him being present with you is, no more than how you came by your parents. There's, this here is a literal presence. And that presence is the Holy Spirit. God in the form of the Holy Spirit. Someone writes, what is the difference in Christ being high priest and judge now and contrasted with time before the seals were opened? Well, he's still high priest. But there's a transition going on because before the seals were opened, he was on the mercy seat behind the throne. And just as the seals are opened, he comes off the mercy seat, takes the book out of the hand of him that sits upon the throne, tears off the seals, and climbs upon the throne because the one on the throne comes down. The Holy Spirit comes down. That's where God begins to begin to put everything under the feet of Jesus as per the contract. So there is a difference there, but there is no difference in the actual ability of him to be mediator so they can come in, intercessor to keep them in, and do all that work as the high priest, being able to be touched by our infirmities, feeling for us. All those things are going on, but it is still a transition period, and that transition period of wherein he is literally assuming the king-priest office, which will come down to earth and be carried over in the ages to come, because he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's just like we see the transition from prophet to judge and from high priest to judge. It's a matter of the attributes of God in his great role in redemption being carried forth. It's not too hard to understand if you just, adapt your thinking to what is going on. Now, there's a fellow down there in Boma, and he's quite an astute listener and quite an astute thinker and quite an astute a lot of things. And there's some of these questions here I'll delete. But he's got a good mind. There's no two ways about it. So he asks a bunch of questions, and in these questions he asks, is the presence of Matthew 25 and 10, which is, of course, the parable on the virgins. He says that, and while they went to buy the bridegroom came, and they that already went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, is that the one in the air or on earth before or after the resurrection? Now, you're going to notice something in here, that this parable is put upon earth. But we do happen to know that the marriage, and the marriage is already in consummation on the earth, as Brother Branham said, in the invisible union. But there is a marriage supper that we're looking forward to. And so the whole thing is on earth, and it's culminated, however, in the rapture at the marriage supper. Now, what you see here is the appearing. There comes a time when there is a voice. A call. It says there are five, King Heaven's like unto 10 virgins took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 wise, 5 foolish. And they that are foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. The bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him. Now you'll notice that there is a cry that is made. Now, it doesn't say who is making the cry, but this setting is on earth. And so a cry is made. Now, this is the same thing that you'll get when you understand 1 Thessalonians, that the Lord descends in with a shout. The shout is not said to be the literal voice of the Lord. So you know in this case that it having to do as a parable, looking forward to 1 Thessalonians 4, that this voice here is not the literal voice of someone other than a messenger. So there's a messenger that is attached to the bridegroom. He has a recourse to the bridegroom, and evidently he is the announcer of the bridegroom. Well, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message foreruns the second coming. And the second coming has to do with the wedding supper, which has to do with the bridegroom coming, because we're looking forward to, let me see if I can find it for you. We're looking forward to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Blessed are they which are called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Now you notice that there's a messenger involved there. That's what we're looking at. So there's a voice, and this is the voice of the seven church age messenger, because the virgins run out at the end. There's no more virgins. You see, she starts as a virgin, and so therefore there's seven ages of virgins. And you notice there's wise virgins and foolish virgins. Now the wise virgins of all ages are going to go in. But this has to do with the last church age. He said, Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Well, now, that's just, I don't know if I'll get very far tonight in any other question, because we just weave scripture back and forth, as you well know. Okay. And in Matthew, in Luke, the 17th chapter, the Pharisees demanded when the kingdom of God should come. Now, that's the kingdom of God is that heavenly kingdom, wherein God has a sovereignty, a sovereignness that, wherein he's ruling. And you notice the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Now, we're talking about this time, which is all one and the same time. Students will tell you there's no difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The scriptures just go back and go forth all the time. And so the kingdom of God on earth, kingdom of heaven on earth, it wouldn't matter which way you looked at it. So you're looking at a situation here wherein it tells you that the kingdom of heaven, at the end time, there's going to be a wise virgin, and there's going to be foolish virgin, and there are going to be those that are called out to meet him, to behold him, rather. Now, they're called out to behold him, and you'll notice that five don't get to behold him. And yet, he's right under their noses. You see, the word that they have cannot be anointed to reveal him. I don't care who they are. See, those foolish virgins are denominations. They're those that are standing at the end time. And they could stand for, they stand for grace. Five major groups you might see at the end time. Out of them will be those who go to the great tribulation and are purged. See? But they can't see it. Now notice, the kingdom and the bridegroom are synonymous. Because it says, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto virgins that are supposed to behold the bridegroom. You follow what I'm saying? Kingdom, bridegroom. Now see, that's how it says right here. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. They'll say, Lo here and Lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is already in the midst of you, and you're missing it. The bridegroom is already being revealed, and you're missing it. Because that's what they're supposed to do, is behold him. Now, the next thing is come out and meet him. Now, they've all started on their way. Luther started on his way, Wesley, and so on, Pentecost, and so on. But they don't make it. Now, at this time, these people, in this period, lamp trimming time, is getting the word in order. Now, you get a lamp, you get a wick, and that wick is all dirty and all. You're not going to get much of a light. See? Now, they're coming to the place, hey, shape up. They know that something is required. But there isn't any oil. I don't care if they talk in tongues. It's too late. Talking in tongues was good at one time. It won't work anymore. So therefore, we're looking at this picture. Now, they come and they say, we want oil. And while they're trying to get it, at this period, which is starting back in 1933, with a major development in 1946, when he begins to appear in signs and wonders that vindicate, that is God, period. Now, you know this has nothing to do with seven church ages, of people being baptized with the Holy Ghost, because this has not happened in seven church ages. This is at the end of the seven church age. Now, it says while they went to buy, while they were trying to receive the Holy Spirit, they that were ready went into the marriage supper, and the door was shut. Now, over here, it said, disciples, the days will come and you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and shall not see. Now, this is what he's talking about, the kingdom. And appearing in the days of the Son of Man. Have I lost you, anybody? Huh? I think I lost you. You're going to have to play this tape over and over to get it, because I'm giving you absolutely verbatim what you need to know. Now, he said, this is the beholding part. See? The coming out to meet him. Come out of her, my people. See? Because you're in Babylon that says you can see and you can't see. That says you've got oil and you don't have oil. That says you are dressed and you are not dressed. That says you are rich and you are not rich. You got to get out. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, this is the beholding of him, seeing him do the same works that he did when he was here upon earth, which he did not do in the seven church ages until this time. Now, and they'll say, you'll desire to see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, do not follow them. Don't follow Luther. Don't follow Wesley. Don't follow Smith. Don't follow anybody. See? Now, there's only one that you are engaged with concerning the bridegroom, whoever has that voice. Now, the one that has the voice will bring you out and lead you to him so you can behold him and then meet him at the wedding supper. Now, nobody else can do it. Now, I said, don't follow them. Now, these are not voices over here in Matthew. They're not voices. It's a cry. That which means an arousal. That which means a warning. Now, it's a singular. All right? They're all alerted. Okay. Now, he tells you here. You are going to want to see the day. But he said, there you won't, but there will be a group who do see the day of the Son of Man. He'll be now, in verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, eating and drinking and so on. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold. Now notice that before Noah, there was a rapture. See? Before Sodom and Gomorrah, there was Abraham with God and the elect. Now, the same day the law went out of Abraham, fire and brimstone came down, even thus it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he that's on the housetop and so on, not return, remember Lot's wife. Whoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, in other words, it tells you right there that there has to be a selling out at the end time. Because it says, whoever seeks to save his soul shall lose it. That's what the word is. Whoever shall seek to preserve it, shall seek to save shall lose, and he that shall lose it shall preserve it. Now, I tell you, in that night there'll be two in one bed. Now, you'll notice in here that this is going to require a commitment of the total loss to the individual in order that God will do something for him. Now, and those who don't do it are going to find themselves in trouble, because they'll find themselves in a flood and in the fire of destruction. Now, two in a bed, one taken, one left. Two grinding, one taken, one left. Two in a field, one taken, one left. That's the rapture. So over here we find that this tells you, afterward, the day they're ready went into the marriage and the door was shut. All right? There comes a time when nobody else can come in. The marriage is completely consummated. There's nobody can come in. And all this is taking right here, right down upon earth now. See? Now, afterward, there are those saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And there is no way they can get in. And it's at that time that the rapture takes place. Because the shout and the cry or the voice on this earth is identical. Then it says, when the dead come out of the ground, and they're all caught up to the marriage supper. Now, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Now, you can put in here, if you wish, the literal coming that nobody knows, actually, when the bridegroom comes down to meet the bride in the air. But I don't put that in there myself. I just leave that, because my own understanding of this is the coming of this hour, that he's already come, that it has to do with the appearing. All right. So the question is here, what about Matthew 25:10? Is this the one in the air? Well, they came to buy, the bridegroom came. See? All right? He is the bridegroom, absolutely, is here in the form of the Holy Spirit. He has been absolutely revealed to us. And if you want to go further, you come to the place that after the revelation, the bride is caught up to meet him in the air, and you're at the wedding supper. But the major thing to see is you must connect this all up with the book of Luke chapter 17 and so on. Now, in over here, another question this man asked. Does God's presence gather them together in Revelation 16:16? If it's not, if that doesn't do it, what does it? Well, in Revelation 16:16, you'll see the armies coming together for Armageddon. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, this is the influence here of God upon those who are against Israel. Because that's what it's all about. Now, let's go to 19 and 17. Maybe you can see something in there. Maybe it's the 17th verse. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in midst heaven, come and gather yourselves together to supper of the great God. You meet the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men. And so on. And I saw the beasts and the kings, their armies together, gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now, if there is a perpetration here, or there is the mighty messenger standing to call the fowls of the air because of this gathering here, you can believe that the sovereignty of God is behind the gathering of those, the Antichrist forces against Israel, for the simple reason that God has already gathered Israel itself to the homeland, and these are the ones that the Antichrist comes against with the forces of the world. So you see, it's actually a direct commitment of God to gather the people to Armageddon. Now, another question asked, why was God's presence immediately prior to Sodom's destruction different than to other times he'd appeared to Abraham? Well, he appeared to Abraham as a pillar of fire when he laid all the offering and sacrifices out there. God actually just talked to Abraham without perhaps even appearing. It was a voice. And whether he appeared visibly, that's not necessary to believe. But he actually appeared, we'll say, various times. But in this particular instance, that you're going to Abraham before Sodom, the appearing, you're typing this and seeing that this is a repeat at the end time when Sodom conditions are upon the earth and God himself, Holy Spirit, in the form of a man, the form of flesh, comes to the elect. And that's exactly what we find. The parables and everything show us that God brought a prophet, God in the prophet, and God appearing also to the prophet himself, bringing us to the place where we know that we are just about ready for destruction to come upon the earth. Another question was, if God's presence to Samuel was as words, in our days, is his words his presence? Well, no, that's not really true. What it is that God is present in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire, and we do not see him as the prophet saw him, but because of the message that the prophet brings, so that the words are the words of life, and that word is really indwelt by the life of Almighty God, the word to us forms the flesh of the Holy Spirit, so that we are able to see him revealed to us through those expressions. It's not too hard to understand that if you just realize that Moses stood before Israel and the pillar of fire was there. People couldn't see the pillar of fire. Moses saw the pillar of fire, and Moses brought the word. Now remember, they said, now Moses, what we want to do is to get the presence of God, the visibility of God, and the word of God in a way that does not encompass any longer the pillar of fire and the voices of thunder. So, all you got here then, you got a prophet standing here, the presence of God vindicated by what the words of the prophet bring forth, and then the words of the prophet directed to us in the form of a message completely revealed God to us. And people just don't want to accept that as the way that God operates. They want some other way that God operates. And you're not going to change it. Because when Israel did not want to see and hear anymore, God said, okay, then what you're going to do is get somebody stand there with a ministry that'll let you know I am the one, and from that time on his word. See, now that's what you're up against. And it's not hard at all, because Jesus really was word in human flesh, and now we've got the Spirit clothed in that word, and when that word comes to us, we literally have God unveiled in our midst. We just believe it, and that way we see him. Now, he says here another question. John saw God's presence among his seven lampstands, Revelation 1:10. After it was announced as a coming by a trumpet, what was the difference between this presence and as the presence already in John and in his church ages people? Well, that's what we've looked at many, many times. There is a tremendous difference, because what was in John and in the seven church ages was Pentecost. Now, here's where you get people really upset, because it's always the same thing. They want to quote Brother Branham, we've got to return to Pentecost. Now, they forget that Brother Branham said original Pentecost. Amen. Now, that's telling you that you really got to be full of the Holy Ghost, and that the church has got to become a virgin. Now, the Pentecostals and all these people that are so hepped up with gifts and tongues and all, they want to place that in the realm of body manifestation. And lots of miracles and lots of things. And they want to bypass the word. They forget that original Pentecost was a virgin. But in the first church age, and pardon the expression, she began turning into a whore. Now, nobody wants to talk about a whore. Because if the church is a whore, then the people that are in the churches are whores. Now, nobody likes that. Nobody wants to be called a bastard to the word. Nobody wants to be called a whore. Now, those are tough words, but it's the truth. Nobody wants to be called a dog, which is a male prostitute. Now, let's just take a look what's going on today. Now, this is shocking, but we might as well get right down to the nitty-gritty, the shockeroo, because that's just where we got to be. That's why I preach the way I preach, because nobody listens unless you shock the pants plumb off it. And all they do is get mad. Now, it says right here, at the end time, after the opening of the seals,
He said, seal not the things, the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. That's verse 10 of chapter 22. He that's unjust is unjust still, filthy, filthy still, righteous, righteous still, holy, holy still. Now, at that time, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, that's absolutely the handing of the rewards to the righteous and the judgments on earth. They both get their rewards. Let me see if I can find it for you. For sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her, double according to her works. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God and the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord of God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before me, before thy judgments are made manifest. I knew my Bible real good, I could get these things over in a hurry, but I have an awful trouble. And the nations are angry, and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and thou should give rewards unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints and them that fear thy name, and should small and great, and destroy them that destroy the earth. All right. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give a man according as thy work shall be. Now you can see right there that the swift turning to the judge comes with the opening of the seals, wherein the bride is judged worthy and blameless. And the earth is going to get, and the people are going to get clobbered. Now, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. All right, what Alpha? The Alpha of the judge. Back in Abraham's day, the righteous shall not perish with the wicked, but they'll be rewarded with the sun. And taking over the earth. The rest will get burned up. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and enter through the gates of the city. For without are male prostitutes, and poisoners, whoremongers. Those sorcerers are doctors with the wrong prescription. Whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, that's pretty blunt. But that's exactly what we have here at this end time. Now, the people don't want to believe in what we understand as an end time message. They won't accept that immediately after a few years of the gospel, the church fell. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and change your mind, and do the first works. Revelation 3. He said, I know your works. You're neither cold or hot. I would you're cold or hot. Your lukewarm must be out of my mouth. You say, I'm increased in goods and need of nothing. Know not your wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, naked means she's been caught in adultery. Cause you to buy me gold tried in the fire. You may be rich, white raiment. You may be clothed. She's not clothed. And the shame of your nakedness do not appear. That you're not caught. Hold your finger there. 1 John 2:20, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his presence. John 15, I am the true vine, my Father's husband. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, and may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean to the word I have spoken. Abide in me. Now that fruit
has to do with abiding, which is the Word. Now, connect those together. Come on back to the third chapter. She's caught in her adulteries. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I purge. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, the church is admonished that she change her mind. She repent. So, therefore, it's in the mind that the church went haywire. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. I'm jealous of the God that jealous. Suppose you're the one husband. I present you a chaste virgin. But I fear as many means as a serpent of God leads to his civility, so your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now it tells you where the mind goes off track. Their teaching is haywire. They preach another Jesus that Paul did not preach. They receive another spirit that Paul did not have. They receive another gospel which Paul did not have. She's become an absolute outright prostitute in potential. Now, at the end time, the church does not want to be called a whore. She doesn't want her members branded as bastards. She doesn't want her preachers branded as witch doctors. She wants to stand up and strut. And she's nothing but filth. All right. That goes to Pentecost. That's what came out of Pentecost. Because they fell. Amen. What happened to Paul, which was the revealed word, cannot fall. Amen. It remains inviolate. The church can't change it, but the church changed it. And when she changed it, she became changed. All right, that's what you're looking at. There's a tremendous difference. Now, if you want to get back to original Pentecost, that's fine. Go on back. She was a virgin. But these people want to claim they're virgins when they're whores and bastards. Now, that, I know it's tough. You don't like bad language, but if it's in the Bible, I'm going to use it because that's the only thing. I had to get them hard in a firecracker. A man that procures for a whore is a pimp. The hierarchical system is a pimp system. Sure, amen. Listen, come on. I'm not just using bad language for the... You know I've got a horrible, horrible way of using bad language. I use this just to get my point across, but I'm not using to get my point across. I'm going to tell you. After these things, I saw an angel come down. He cried mightily, Babylon, the greatest fallen, become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean bird, for all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of fornication. And the kings of earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants have waxed rich to a bunch of delicacies. And he said, I'm going to kill her and her children with death, the lake of fire. Now, these people are saying, oh, let's get back to Pentecost, because Brother Branham said, let's get back. Brother Branham did not say get back to Pentecost, except original. Amen. They think Pentecost, it means talking in tongues, and then you've got this Greek out here in Phoenix trying to say the same thing. Well, nuts to him. Amen. That which is perfect has come. Yeah. See? Now, this Bible comes out right when it's preached the way Brother Branham preached it, not the way the bunch of bohunks preach it. It's always the same story. Let's get back to Pentecost. Yes, if you get back to the day of Pentecost, if you get back to Paul, when he laid hands upon those Ephesians and they received the Holy Ghost, having been corrected, amen. And not until they were corrected did they receive the Holy Ghost. Neither can we be joined with him because Alpha is Omega until we are corrected. Because they come to John's baptism and it didn't work. Now Alpha is Omega. So we come to the end time. where the only way to get back to true Pentecost is to get back by the Word, because this is Gentile. Remember, under Pentecost, there was a platform lead for 53 years. No, 17 years about. That's right, 17 years. So the people today misunderstand Brother Branham very thoroughly when he talks about getting back to Pentecost. He's talking about getting back to the Holy Ghost. And he's not talking about the Holy Spirit dividing himself only amongst people, because that runs out. He's talking about getting back to the Holy Spirit when they were virgin. And they were virgin because of one thing. They were virgin because of the Word. Now the Gentiles have the Word. And they were virgin back there. Now their virginity was lost. And they're a complete mess. They've completely gone to the seed of discrepancy of a wrong Jesus, a wrong Spirit, a wrong Word. And everybody is pulling for it. So when the cry goes forth, behold the bridegroom, they know it's time for the coming. They know something is going on. So now there's a great big return to Pentecost. Pentecost, my foot. Because they don't get the oil. Scripture says so. So Brother Branham say, all right, return to getting a true baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, he tells you that they never get it. Because at this time, the people only with the Holy Ghost can go out to meet him and see him. The rest can't. So you can see the whole thing going on and on and on. The difference between the two is absolutely so different, it's pitiful. And here's what we're running into right now, and here's what we're being fought with. Because you got the people that want gifts in the church, discerning, and everything else, which is Pentecostal. And they come against this, the way we preach the message, and they make it blasphemy. One fellow said it was blasphemy. He should talk about blasphemy. He's the guy that Brother Branham said is men like him to keep my true ministry coming out. He's the same guy that made Sister Branham want to vomit every time his name came up. Because of the lies that he told. Listen, Brother, so I'm going to tell you something. I don't care anybody. He said, look, I have been through Pentecost. And I have got today what Pentecost cannot give.
Amen.
And there's no way they'll ever get it.
Amen.
Because while they're standing around the plane, I can stand before any group of men, and I will do it any day of the week, in the power of Almighty God, by revelation. And the people will hear, and they will know something, and understand there's something in my life, by way of the Holy Spirit and revelation. There's few people stand on the phone and never come near it. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you facts. If you want to call my bluff, call my bluff. I'm not afraid, because I've got a God. And I'm not in my own strength, not for 1 minute. I do not preach in my strength. What I tell you, I know is correct.
Praise the
Lord. Lines with the Word 100%. It lines with what Brother Branham taught. They do not want to recognize His presence. They want a corporate body presence. It won't work. Because when God stood before Paul, it was years after Pentecost. Paul himself was already full of the Holy Ghost when God sent... No. Let's come back on that. Paul was not full of the Holy Ghost. He was fighting God when God jarred him and got his attention. Then when he was full of the Holy Ghost, he still did not have revelation. Except who this one was that talked to him. Then he tells you that this one that talked to him gave him the identical revelation the others had. And he said, no man taught me. John stands here and he receives an end time revelation that nobody taught him. But when what John knew in the beginning, he now has from God the consummation. And he says here, in his presence, he said, abide in him. And that abiding is in the Word. See, because he sends forth churches. And every branch he prunes and will go to the fire. The seventh church age branch has an original branch that it puts forth. And that one is not pruned off and does not go to the fire. Everything else does. So it shows you here that there are those who will not make the rapture and those who do. And there is a tremendous difference between the baptism with the Holy Ghost on the individuals and the baptizer himself standing at the end time. There is absolutely a tremendous difference. There is no way that you can reconcile the two and say they are both the same. There is no way. When people begin to try to tell me and deny the presence of God, I just say one thing. You do not even believe in William Branham the prophet.
Amen.
Because there cannot be a William Branham prophet that takes the place of a Moses, who is the type of Jesus Christ, and deny a literal presence. It just won't work. Because you threw your type away. Call him Elijah, you might as well waste your breath. Save your breath, you're just wasting it. Your testimony is not worth a plug nickel because you don't even know what you're saying. There's no way. Brother Branham categorically said, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not a man. God, but comes by the prophet. Tells you flat. For anyone to deny what we are talking about, what the prophet laid before us, categorically, lets you know that that person has no more idea of a prophet in this hour than nothing. He's just standing out there talking because he saw something. Well, praise God for that. We're happy for that. I'm glad for that. I'm not here to make issues. But I'm going to tell you. It's all through Scripture. You can't deny what the prophet taught. He said he's been here for several years now. Okay. I don't know, we might get some more here. God's presence performed the two poles in our day. Three poles, actually, but he talks about two for one reason. Because in there signs and wonders and discernment. Does his presence also perform the signs of impersonators? Now, you see, that's a good question, but the wording there is pretty tricky. Because I don't know if he knows what he means himself. What he's talking about. See, does his presence also perform the signs of impersonators? All right, what you're talking about here is Matthew 24. There can be no doubt of it, because that's the chapter it is. Okay, the last part of the third verse of Matthew 24. What shall be the sign of thy presence? The second part. What will be the sign of thy presence? And, of course, the end of the world. Systems. First of all, presence and systems are destroyed. In that, remember, the presence precedes the destruction. Okay. Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name. That's seven church ages. Reformers. Everybody, all down the ages. They'll come in that name. And they say, I am the anointed one to bring the word. Well, he said, that's going to keep on moving. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars. End isn't yet. Now remember, he places the emphasis on the end rather than what goes through the middle. Like Brother Brown said, don't pay too much attention to the middle. Just watch the two ends. All right. Now, toward the end, nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquake, and divers places. Now, come on. Let me ask you a question. If you didn't have radio, television, communication, how would you know about a famine or pestilence? There's no way. This lets you know that none of this is until there is a complete worldwide instant or almost instant apprehending of worldwide events. Now, up until a few years ago, there would be an earthquake in China and nobody would know until months or years later. You can't even have a bomb go off today and the people not know it. See? Now, it tells you at the time of cosmos interrelationship and immediate knowledge, wars, How long did it take the United States to get involved in the last war? Not very long once they made up their mind. They had ships and everything else moving right now. Threw everything into gear. Now, these are the beginning of sorrows. Worldwide communication. Intercommerce. And that's the time that the whore is judged. Because she's got a network everywhere. With all nations. Commerce. Communication. Rapport. Entente. Detente. Communities. See? It's a one-worlder. Now, it says right here, at that time, you'll be afflicted. They're going to kill you, hate of all nations for my name's sake. Many be offended, betray one another, hate one another. Now, notice, that is true because of the influence of Rome.
Amen.
Christianity. And every time there ever arose anyone to defy the whore, it came, and this time it gets worse and worse. Iniquity shall abound. Love of many wax gold. He that endures the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. What gospel of the kingdom? Well, let's go back to Luke 17. In verse 20, they came and said, Pharisees, when should the kingdom of God appear? When is it going to be? The kingdom comes not with observation. It's going to be right there. So, it tells you the gospel of the kingdom. Now, people say, hey, that can't be true. Let's find out if it's true. It's just too bad that I haven't got good mind. As I say, I get this thing here in a hurry, but I'm just not that smart. I know it's here somewhere. Let me see now. Now, this fourth beast, Revelation 7. This is the one that Daniel really got intrigued with. And he's going to speak words against the Most High. Word out the saints of the Most High. Now you can tell that this is the culmination of the false doctrine in the first age, which is against God and His Christ, which they neither understand the Spirit of God nor the Christ of God. So therefore their words are stout against Him. In other words, they change. They have another spirit. Another spirit is another God. They got another Jesus. They got another word. They're going to think to change signs and so on. Now, this is right down to the end. And it says here, the kingdom of dominion, greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, shall be given the saints the Most High, whose kingdom everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve Him. Now, that's not what I wanted either. Trouble is, I just don't know which chapter that is in. Try to be back further. It might be in the fourth chapter. I'm not sure. I don't think that could be at this Nebuchadnezzar. No. Anyway, I'll find it one of these days before I remember. Oh, here it is. Verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, what I'm doing, I'm looking at these verses here with the understanding of what is back here in Matthew. That with the presence of Him with His bride, it is literally the saints possessing the earth, possessing the kingdom. Now, they can't take it over. until a certain time. But when the dead rise, which one immortalized person could take over the whole thing. So we're in the process of the kingdom. And this goes to the entire world, and then and only then can the end come. Now, people are trying to talk about the gospel going out to win all souls. I don't buy that. I buy this as Brother Branham's message. And remember, it can only go according to the sun that rose in the east is the same one that goes to the west, and it doesn't backtrack. You see? So, you saw the Holy Spirit start up in the first stage, bringing them in, and in the last stage, from the feet up, the entire Holy Spirit is here. That's God. In the midst of the people. And this is the kingdom. This is that gospel of the kingdom. Now, says the end's going to come. And then it tells you earmarks. Mentioned in Daniel the prophet. Which is where the Antichrist takes over, and the Pope goes to Jerusalem to take over the seat of the universe. Now, at that time that that happens, that is the Great Tribulation. See? Okay, now watch again, 22. The days that set in at this particular time, when all the wars, problems, this message, everything is going on, except those days be shortened, no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, the days be shortened. Now, this still has to do with what is the sign of your presence and the end of the world. In other words, what sign? Now, he said, therefore, if any man say, lo, here is Christ, believe it not. For there'll arise false Christ, even lying prophets. Show great sign as one as much as possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore they say, behold, in the desert, go not forth. The secret chamber, believe it not. And then it tells you the secret we already know. For as lightning, that's the unveiling, the light that shines upon, comes out of the east, shining even to the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. And where that is, where he is, the false prophets with the false word will abound. Now remember, Brother Branham's own vision of the little man with the Trinitarian cup beating down the woman. He said, that was my father and my mother. See? What we're talking about. Right in the middle of it. Now it says, immediately after that time, the Great Tribulation sets in, explaining things further. Now, he's telling you something. In verse 32, he's going back. Learn a parable of the fig tree. That's Israel. See? His branch is tender. Another place he says, an all trees. That's what we told you. In world communication, world travel, world commerce, everything. A time of buying and selling. A time of commerce. Great prosperity. Third nations rising up. Everybody wanting a chunk of the meat. Everybody in there getting a portion. Humanity rising. Nicolaitanism. Laodiceanism, rather. Now, he says, know this generation shall not pass away. But of that day knoweth no man, nor the angels of heaven, but my Father. Notice what he said. But as the days of Noah, so shall also be the presence of the Son of Man. Now he tells you about their presence. They knew not, in verse 39, till the flood came, so shall also be the presence. Now, notice after all these things he mentioned, of the conditions that are on earth, then he says in verse 51, he'll cut them asunder upon his poor hypocrites, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not the lake of fire, that is the great tribulation. Now, in other words, there is a particular time when he comes for his bride, the judgment is going to set in the Great Tribulation. Now it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now he's talking about the same thing over here. What will be this? When shall these things be? What will be the sign of thy presence? What will be the end of the world? And he tells you, and he tells you, at that time the kingdom is likened unto those virgins, which we see over here in the book of Luke. It's under their very noses. And they can't see it. Now watch. The wise answer said, not so. Not enough for you and us. Go rather buy and sell. And while they went looking to buy, they went out to find it. In the time of it under their noses, they lose everything. That's the time the word goes out and strikes against every denomination. See, it strikes against the sixth church age of brotherly kindness. The open door, everything went out there. The seventh church age message, the true gospel, the presence of God, the literal kingdom, right there before them, the appearing. An appearing means to be made visible. It also means to be manifest exactly who and what is doing what. All those very words, light, the exposure to light, parousia, the presence, the phaneros, absolutely revealing his true character. Now he said, it's under their noses, they don't see it. There's no way they can have it without the Holy Ghost. These do not have the Holy Ghost. They don't see the revealed word. They don't see the mate. So they miss it. So, now, the question is, at his presence, where the real is going on, which is, in Luke 17, the true body comes together in the rapture, this other stuff is going on, which is gathering the other body together. Now, at the time of the real is a tremendous amount of the unreal.
Amen.
Then the question was, who is doing this? See, is it the presence of God that is bringing forth the false anointing? Yeah, absolutely, it is the presence of God. But let's look at it. Let's go back to Psalm 68. All right. We can start with verse 16. Why leap ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. Okay, keep your finger there. Don't move. See if I can find you something. Okay. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. The Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of field. The pasture will not spring, for the tree beareth the fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield his strength. Be glad, ye children of Zion, rejoice the Lord your God. For he gave you the former rain moderately. He caused to come down the rain, the former rain, and the latter, as he did in the first. And then he said, all these things will be done. Now watch. Why leap ye high hills? This is the hill which God desires to dwell in. That's Zion. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. And the Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Now, see, you're looking at the end time. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Okay? Now, this has to do with the fact of what he accomplished. Thou hast received gifts from men, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell. All right? Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Wherefore he said in verse 8, when he ascended on high, led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now he that descended, wasn't he first of all to send Lord parts of the earth? He that descended the same, but ascended up above all heavens. He might fill all things. And he gave some prophets and so on. And he brings it right down to the end where a rapture can take place. Now what I'm trying to show you is this. The rebellious refer to number 16. Korah and Dathan, the Abiram, rose up before Moses with certain children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men and out. and gather themselves against Moses and against Aaron. You take too much upon you. See, and they were prophesying. They had ministries. And they are known as the rebellious. Now, against whom were they rebelling? Against God. Because they refused to recognize God's way of literally dwelling, which was with the prophets who had the sole authority of the word. Amen. And they said, we got gifts. We can do what you do. We're just as good as you are anyway. What makes you think you got something we don't have? And they rose up at the time of the Exodus. Now, you've got the same thing here. Men of renown and authority with gifts. Now, the gifts are of God. But they're not full of the Holy Ghost. And these gifts can only come at a time when the true gift of God is there. Now, Brother Branham spoke up greater than Solomon's here. Go and hear the tape again. You'll understand what I'm talking about. She came in order to see a gift. Now, Brother Branham said, if everybody could lay down what they got and come around this gift, there'd be a rapture. Well, they're not going to come around. It's just us. The rest are going to rise up and say, we got a gift too. We got this, we got that. We got this, we got the other thing. And they come against, like I preached on God's way and the prophet. One of God's ways have a prophet. And nobody wants it. And yet God said, you're not going to get one thing from me by revelation except the way that I'm going to give it you.
Right.
And people say, well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I've done this, I've done that. See, look, it's finished. It's over. Now that's why I preached the hardest I ever preached in my life about the presence. Because the more the gates of hell squawk, this part of the gates of heaven is going to come right back. You say, you take too much upon you, Brother Bill. Just wait and see what happens. Here I am. I'm waiting to see what happens. You bet. I'll tell you flat. I'm ready to go plumb to hell and way past hell, right to the lake of fire if I'm wrong. You bet your sweet life I am. I've laid everything on the line. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's going to be a very short while. You're going to hear something else and know something else. You say, how do you know? That's my business. That's not yours.
Praise God.
Because I'll stand here and tell you, and I'm not a prophet. And everything I've looked at in the past 2 years, I haven't had one thing fall back as wrong. I've watched men's lives and everything about it. And you say, oh, Brother Bill, you make yourself something. I make myself nothing. But I'm just going to say one thing. If we can't know something in this hour, hurry! Because if you can't get something when he stands there with the prophet, and the prophet is gathered to the people, and he must increase and the prophet decrease, you tell me what is he increasing for, and in which way is he increasing? In revelation. Or the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, and the secrets of God, and the things of God are made known. Because there's where the transfiguration is. See, we've gone over that time after time after time after time. I showed you the reflection, the whole thing. It lies in there and lies no place else. Everybody wants exploits. And if exploits is going to do it, the false anointed are going to beat us to it. Because Brother Branham said, the mule will outwork the horse any day. Many more are the children of she that hath not a husband, she that's got a husband.
Right, amen.
Tells you flat, they'll show more love, they'll show more everything. And preachers come by and say, their church, the love came down to their church. Rock hit him on the top of the head or something. I tell you, I'm sick and tired of nonsense. Because I've stuck my neck out, and you know I've stuck my neck out, because these tapes go all over, and that's why people are raging. He says, it's Lee Vale's revelation. I said, hold it. It's what the prophet taught.
Praise God.
I didn't get this out of my skull. This is what I wonder years back what he said before he died. But I couldn't get to the bottom of it. I got sidetracked by the idiots who went around saying, oh, there's a real baptism coming. Nobody's really got the Holy Ghost. And if nobody's got the Holy Ghost, what have they got? Then they've got a carnal mind that can apprehend the truth of God. That's alive from the pit of hell.
Amen.
Carnal mind hasn't got a thing to do with it. See, they don't know the Word. There's nothing about the Word in it. In a group that's against what the prophets are. Why don't you say, what makes you think you've got any divvies on him? Well, fact. Before he died, he said, Lee Bale was the only minister who understood him and his message. And believe me, I don't think I've lost it.
Amen.
I don't give a rip. You say you make something yourself, you can do what you want. Put it a center around the world. Who cares? I'm tired anyway. Might as well stick your neck out and get it chopped right off for a gun.
Amen.
We're to ripen his presence. Thus, no presence, no ripening. That's exactly right. What is the presence? The presence is Malachi. 4. The Son of Righteousness is arising with healing in his wings. What else? Let's take a look at it.
But unto you that rise, that fear my name shall be S-U-N. Arise. The light is the evening time, it shall be light.
Once more the word coming forth. Once more the power of the word, just as they gazed upon the serpent. So if someone misunderstands and thinks the revelation of presence is a doctrine, doesn't the latter rain come down as a doctrine?
Well, look, let's face it. There's no such thing as God acting on anything but his word. And if it's not in the word, forget it. So therefore, the word must exist in the form of a promise. Then it becomes alive. And whenever it comes to a word, there has got to be a prophet. Because the word demands a revelation. And at the end time, the book is sealed. The Lamb himself has to do it. Which is the days of the Son of Man, which he returns again as prophet. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, should be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty that is on the head of the fat belly should be a fading flower and a hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. I prefer to think that's the gates of hell coming against us. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. That's a false revelation. The priest and prophet have erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up of wine. They're out of their way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there's no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now that tells you right there that that's when the revelation of Melchizedek comes upon the earth. That's in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 5, Melchizedek returns in the form of the Holy Spirit, because that's who he is. The great mystery of Melchizedek comes up. And when that happens, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little. For his stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. So he said, this is the rest of the cause of weary rest. This is refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now he said, this is what would happen at that turn. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Now listen. God now says what's going to happen, and it happens, and that's the refreshing. And that is the rest. Now, let's just take a look here. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation and trouble you, and you are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messenger. See? All right. At that time, when every table is full of vomit, and it better be, wrong name, wrong God, Wrong word. Or wrong Jesus. Now, this is that rest and refreshing. But they would not hear. Now notice, but the word of the Lord was unto them. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line upon line, here, little, there, little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now to notice what the word does. The word like the waters of Noah. Take one over and destroy the rest. Where the ones go forward, the rest go backward and destroy. Stay yourselves in wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunk with not with wine. They stagger with not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. And has closed your eyes. And the prophets and your root. The prophet's root is the seers hath he covered. Now that's the time when it says, awake thou the sleepers and arise amongst the dead, and Christ will give thee light. The vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Which men deliver to one that's learned, saying, read this, I pray. And he says, I cannot, for it's sealed. Certainly God sealed. Jesus put the book down and God sealed. And the book is delivered to him that has not learned, saying, read this, I pray. And he said, I'm not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Now remember, the hearts have got to be turned back. You got a double identification here in Scripture. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Purgatory. Falling away. Legalism, all that junk. Therefore, behold, I'll proceed to do a marvelous work among these people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, saying, who sees us? Who knows us? The word of God is quick and powerless, more sharper than a two-edged sword, discerning thoughts and intents.
Right.
It happened back there, it happened today. Surely your turning of these things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. For the work, say of him that made it, hath he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he have no understanding? That's the doctrine of election that's repudiated today as no other doctrine is repudiated. All over. They hate it. Merciful God. If God gave man a free will like they try to teach, then man's free will would automatically be the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could take the things of God, they'd be right. Where is free will when it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal something to you?
Amen.
They don't know what Brother Branham is saying when he said God put him to the free will, a more free moral agency. He told Adam exactly what lay there and what would happen if he did such and such. And God even told him what was going to happen. And Adam went right ahead and did it. There's your free moral agency.
Amen.
See? Is it yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase in their joy, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And the terrible one is brought to naught, the scorner consumed. Well, this tells you what's going on just before the great tribulation. And that make a man the fender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing and not. I hope you heard what I read. They were talking about the message. And the gates of hell rising up against the presence of God, the word of the hour. See? Now, therefore saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall now be ashamed, neither shall he not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. And when he seeth his children, the work of my hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall and fear the Lord God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding. They that murmur shall learn doctrine. Now right through here you can see what happens to the one side, happens to the other side. In other words, you see the parallelism of the scripture wherein you see the blessing on one hand, the curse on the other hand. You see, those that don't see, those that hear them don't hear, and right on down the line. There's lots of scripture we can see all through here. So what we're looking at is, is this a doctrine? Well, look, let's face it. Sure, it is precept upon precept. They shall all be taught of God. It comes as a word. But what was looking at, listen to what I read over here.
Where is that? Yeah. It's not in a corner. It's no world known. That tells you the gospel of the kingdom went out around the world. Jesus, the Son of God, revealing himself by the scriptures, making that scripture that has been predestined this day like it was to that day near all days live.
Now he tells you that the revelation of God depends on the hours that a word is supposed to live. And the word supposed to live in this hour is what we said about. Nations rising against nations. The presence of God. Elijah coming. Standing there with Almighty God. Now he says, and to believe it is the evidence of the Holy Spirit righteousness. In other words, look. If that makes righteousness, the other then makes unrighteousness.
Amen.
So let's get back to the 22nd chapter again. He said, seal not the things promised in his book, for the time is at hand. The just is unjust, the filthy is filthy, the righteous is righteous, the holy is holy. My reward with me. I'm going to take my good ones away. I'm going to give them prizes, crowns and things. The rest I'm going to burn up. I don't care which way you go. There's no way you can possibly deny the presence of God. Now, if that presence were present only by the baptism with the Holy Ghost in the bride, tell me, what was William Branham doing here? What was he doing? Why bother? Who needs Elijah? See? If William Branham was trying to tell the people, look, let's get back to Pentecost. Everybody get the Holy Ghost. And say, I'm telling you something that you have not known until this hour, that you need to be born again. Why, that would make him an unmitigated ass, a blowhard, an idiot, a guy that had a great ministry, and now he comes on the scene like a clown and says, now, for my great ministry, I will now announce. That's the same thing. That is an organ, and that is a piano. What if I raise the dead? Saw miracles before people's eyes. Performed them in the sense that God did it through the man. And I was here doing all these great things. And said, bring me your worst case in history. Take the kid on my knee for, I don't know how long he sang. They said, some said 2 hours, I don't know. And see this little girl, there was nothing but skin and bone in her. Her body so entwined like a dish of cold cooked spaghetti. Jump up and run with full flesh in her body. And now say, people, I'm going to tell you something. That is an organ. That is a piano. They said, merciful God. Now, we're not idiots, brother, sister.
Amen.
I'm set for the defense of the gospel.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul, that same one was here giving that revelation of it. I don't care what anybody says. And all they can do is mouth off. I'll just say, listen, you birds, perform me one miracle. Give me one thus that the Lord to prove you're right. And they'll say, well, you do. They'll say, no, you're the guys that are doing it challenging. I never had in the first place. I just quote the prophet.
Praise.
Sure. But I've caught them in their lies, though. Well, that's enough. You can see the kind of questions people ask. And, of course, I always answer them different.
I add here, take away there, because I can't remember what I said to the point. It's all the same theme, the same structural theme,
But the more I look at it, the more I realize there's better answers than the first answer because I don't maybe give enough in those answers. But anyway, you can begin to see how people are questioning, and I don't mind if you do the same thing. Write them down and bring them up. Let's see where we go. Let's find out if the Word of God dovetails back and forth every single scripture lines up. Let's find out. The reason is people don't understand, that's all. They can't put it together because it just isn't there to be put together to them. There's a lot of people. Let's face it. I can go downtown and buy absolutely everything that James Baird or Craig Clyburn
to name a couple of the great chefs of the world, not to mention Julia Childs and her French cooking, I can go down and get the same ingredients, even import some truffles at a terribly high price from France, maybe one costing me $200, and believe me, by the time I get it put together, you will know I ain't no James Barry. Well, anybody can read this book. Anybody. Anybody pick up a Bible. But as Brother Branham said, Lord, any hands can open this book, but only your spirit can reveal it. Now, what kind of a man would make a statement like that to a public when he already has told them that he is an authority? You say, well, he never directly said it. Well, I beg your pardon, he did. Because he told the people, he said, if Brother Neville can't answer, he said, you come to me, and I'll give you the answer. And he said, if I tell you a lie, I'm a hypocrite. Now, nobody can make that statement but a man that can get to God. Because if I tell you a lie, believe me, I am not deliberately telling you lies because I don't know better. I am not a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a man that puts a front on in order to deceive you. So William Branham stands there as a prophet to deceive us. He told us plenty. He said, if I tell you, I'm a hypocrite. Think. And I expose that plant. Only William Branham could. Anybody else? I just tell you flat. Anybody make a statement like that is off of his gourd, spiritually speaking. The guy has to be some kind of an antichrist, or he speaks in an abysmal ignorance that he better get back and repent over. Because that lets you know when a man says that, hey, I think I got something from God. Now, I've said a lot of things tonight here that might make you think I'm saying that kind of a thing. When I tell you something I believe is happening at all, up to this point, I haven't made a mistake yet. And I'm looking at something that I feel that God began to move in that could happen. And I'm looking at it within the next 2 weeks. But I'm going to tell you something. It might take 2 years. Might take 2 months. But I'm going to tell you it's going to come.
Praise God.
I'll tell you why it's going to come, because the prophet said so. I'm not talking about what Lee Dale thinks. But I'm also telling you what God I know has started to do. Because absolutely and absolutely the prophet warned us, always looking back, always looking forward, never knowing what's going on. Now we know what is going on at this hour, because we trace it right through the scripture. We show you the judge. Brother Branham started with showing us the prophet. And he looked down, he said, now see, John saw him as a judge. And he said, now look, he said, the prophet and judge get together to become king before he's in his kingship. But he sets your thing starting. Now there's something started down right down here right now, brother, sister, or the saints of the Most High possess the kingdom at the end of the fourth age. And that's exactly right. Now we see the priest turning judge. Sure, the temple fills with smoke. I don't understand all mystery, but I know one thing. That judge in there as judge, even though crowned king by the saints, he is judge before he gets plumbed into his kingship, showing that he's judge in the first part of his kingship. You say, why do you say that? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. It's for the simple reason that 144,000 Jews have got to come in after we're up there. Now, how do they get in? Under the fifth seal. By way of the blood. There's one thing else you got to know. They get full of the Holy Ghost because they're sealed in. Under the fifth seal, they weren't sealed in. It's really under the sixth seal. Due to the seventh seal. Having come from under the fifth. Now, I'm not just talking jargon. If you got an ounce of intelligence, you understand what I'm saying. The Jews never did know Messiah. They were blinded. Under the fifth seal, the soul's under the altar. But you're going to get some who have a revelation, which means they're going to be sealed in by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, proceeding from the fifth seal, you are going into redemption through blood and Holy Spirit, personal experience under the sixth seal due to the seventh, because the seventh trumpet is identical to our seventh seal. And remember, the seventh trumpet actually comes under the seventh seal, because the seventh seal goes plumb into eternity.
Now, I hope you didn't lose the chronology there. See, it's really not hard. It's really not hard. I hope you're beginning to see how the role of God, dynamic living role, is like the pillar of fire, moving, moving, twining, twining, circling, and manifesting what he needs to be. The one that was prophet manifests as prophet again. The one Son of God manifests Son of God again. Depending on the occasion, all. But it's the same one doing it. See, that's what Brother Branham brought us. He said he just changed his mask. And then people get an idea, change the mask, you forget the body. Oneness people, they got all messed up with the body. That's not hard to understand at all. See, well, anyway, that's the end of it. Let's rise. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, mercy, and grace that you've given unto us at this hour in Lord God, that we have been able to stand the test of time, the test, Lord, only because of you. That which is against us, Lord, we know that there's nothing against us can prevail because we have absolutely come into the love of God. Absolutely. As the prophet said, love and mercy is here, and we know that love is here because love was that eighth which descended, God himself. And nothing is going to separate us from that. There's no way possible, none whatever. We know the price has been paid. We know that the work of the great high priest, we know the full power of Almighty God, the entire ability, Lord, both in your omniscience and your omnipotence, has come into play, or whatever was required of it. And if there's anything left over for ages to come and all, we're certainly satisfied with that. But we do believe, Lord, that salvation is of the period. And we thank you, my Lord, that we see more and more of this great revealing, this great showing forth that it is of you. And we praise you for it. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for everything that you have done for us and what you are now doing. And Father, we stay humble before you, knowing that many people can misread us and think we're trying to pull something off, Lord, or people here are trying to be brought together to think, well, hey, we got something that nobody else has got. Lord, we don't believe that for one solitary moment. Lord, we know and they know that all we're saying is that we are aware because of you what is going on. And we believe, Lord, that the others are also aware and know what is going on. And Lord, it may be that some might have to know a little more than others at a certain period in a certain direction, but we know that absolutely we are all heir to the same grace, to the same revelation, Lord. And as the prophet said, when they have that mind, they know who they are. They've got their placing. They'll be taken away. And Lord, we know that this is what we're looking at. And we're hungry for it, O God. That's all we want, Lord. With it, Father, we also know that the closer we get to you and see you and realize your wondrous presence amongst us, we know that we ourselves fade more and more into the distance, more and more away. And that does not bother us at all. That makes us feel real good. So that we know that, again, we know more than ever that there's nothing in our hands we bring simply to the cross we cling. And say, Lord, if you don't do it, there's nothing going to be done. And Father, we're just so anxious now that any manifested grace that could be manifested in our lives would come forth. We want that, Father. We certainly do. If we can give you any glory in any way, we don't want to just hang on to one limb and say, well, this is it. No way, shape, or form. We would have in our lives, Lord, whatsoever is revealed in that word that we should be partakers of and then into manifestation. Lord, that's exactly where we stand. And if you want gifts in the Spirit under control in a room with discernment and all these things, Father, we would just tell you right now, we'd just be ever so happy to have something like that. If there would be a more consecrated walk, and we know that is what you have already told in your word, we want more of that. There is nothing, Lord, that we don't want more of that spells out Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're just absolutely one with that, Lord. We'd hope, Lord, that people would understand that and know that. And if they don't understand and know it, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, that our lives are blowing an uncertain sound. And that we'd certainly repent of it, O God, and want something different. But, Lord, here we are. And we cast ourselves upon you for grace and mercy. Give us help, Lord. May our minds be renewed, our spirits and souls energized, O God, our bodies also blessed to the point where health is better than ever. Perhaps we could get that, and knowing, Lord, that if it isn't, many times we're asking things that that are a little bit held back from us, but we know one thing, Lord, that just around the corner is that resurrection. And then everything is going to be really changed. And oh, that's going to be great, because we think so many things now are good, and all it is just a perversion. It's, or at least watered down. But now, Lord, as our bodies shape up to the change by your own power. Oh, what a day that's going to be, Lord. And we know that it hasn't entered our minds or hearts, because we're just not capable. But, Father, we're willing. We are willing, Lord, in this day and this hour, we want it. And I wanted the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord richly bless you. Now we will just go. And I've been away for a couple Sundays, and I'm not quite sure what the future holds, but it looks like I'll be away a little bit again. I don't know just what dates, but that's fine. We'll work something out. In the meantime, we'll sing Take the Name of Jesus with you, and just trust the Lord's blessed. Okay, Lord?